each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. Can you believe it? TGIF. I cannot believe
Yay.
It's Friday again.
Yes,
I mean, we go through this every week, but it just seems like it can't be. It can't be.
It is.
But it is.
And here we are in October.
Yes. And
no,
it feels like fall. Fall's
like
in the
night,
air.
Night.
I like this.
It's my favorite
fall
time of year, actually. Many people have described this as their favorite time
yes.
of year. So, but anyway, I was, hi, everybody, you know.
Hi, Father.
Tony, Geraldine, we missed you yesterday.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It was nice to have Father Joshua.
Yes.
And you were on the side anyway. So,
right.
You know.
A really inspiring show.
It was. I have to, and by the way, people, if you can do this, do it. Crusaders for Life, Flash Mob. It is so impressive, so inspiring.
I saw some of them.
I downloaded
yes.
all of them through Bing. I got this access to Bing now. I like it. And it was just, you know what I'm talking about when I say Bing?
Yeah,
I do not know.
It's not Bingo, it's just Bing.
Bing, B-I-N-G, Bing.
Like Google.
So you like Google, Yahoo,
yeah.
Bing. So my, I'm Bing, I got whatever. You know,
Mr. Bing.
Yeah, but I like it. I like it. I like it very nice, so very much. And it is really inspiring. And they had one of the videos, I'm going to be struggling with my throat because I've got...
The cough.
Every time I cough, every time I don't want to talk, I want to cough, you know, so now I can feel the voice going, you know, this isn't good, so you guys are going to have to carry the show, and it's going to be awful if you do that, you know, so.
You know that.
So
I have to store your voice.
I have a question. What did one casket say to the other?
I don't know what.
Is that you coughing?
Oh, that's a good one, Christine. That's very nice. I've never heard that before. But anyway, so what was I talking about before, Christina?
I'm so rudely interrupted.
Yeah, about the cough. Yeah.
There's some levity. In
no,
there.
The mash, the flash mobs.
Oh yeah, if you can get it, excuse me, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Crusaders for Life,
mm-hmm.
Flash mob. They are
your
just.
Flash mob,
they, also,
yeah.
they have one where they've actually created a video, and then they've got the music from The Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
And it just is so appropriate, and it is. It is so inspiring. But these kids come out of nowhere, you know, downtown Chicago. So there are the, you know, people demanding for the rights. Yeah, I was thinking about, a woman's life or something. I said, but what about the life of the child, you know? And a woman's responsible for that,
mm-hmm.
isn't she?
Yes.
Oh, well, yes.
Yes.
You know, I was saying this morning, we're going to eventually get to this. We're going to be all over the place today. I'm just telling you right now. It's Friday, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come to this in a little while, the reading from the prophet Baruch. Baruch. And I like it. I said, I like that. I like to hear that. I like to be challenged. I like to be shaken out of my own complacency or my own, if I'm going down a bad road or whatever. Mm-hmm. I want that. I always wanted that. And we live in a time, you know, when we just coddle and, you know, the killer in Oregon, you know, what was it, 10 students that were killed?
Yeah.
Teacher and some students, 10 people involved. And it's very disturbing to me, you
mm-hmm.
know. And, you know, everybody's, what is it? What do we got? What's the problem, you know, here and all that? And, of course, he said, and we're going to come to this maybe in a little while. In his Facebook, he said that he disdained religion, Mm-hmm. But he considered himself spiritual, not religious.
Oh, good.
So that's the and that's the kind of, and he's obviously he's sick, but he's got to take responsibility as well. So we just not, you know, we don't put the devil made me do it, or he's just mm-hmm. he was just sick. Now something is sick in the society. That's mm-hmm. for sure.
Yes.
And we don't want to take responsibility. At what point do we say that we got a problem? People are having sex here and there and everywhere at the very, very young age. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in this with this contraceptive mentality, which means, you know, you can do what you want to do. The breakup of the family. At what point do we talk about the, you know, the crisis in the African-American community? And it spills over into other communities mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. But 60 people killed in the city of Chicago in the month of September, mm-hmm. you know. And everybody's, again, you know, where's the problem? Well, look at the breakdown of the family, mm-hmm. the absence of the father, yeah. the free reign of the flesh, sex anyway, however, to whomever, whatever, you know. Feed off the government, right?
Right.
Where are the jobs? How do you get people, you know, I don't know, it just, the violence on the television, you know, all the kids are exposed to all this stuff. We're inculcating a nation of people for generations already. So what do we expect? Mm-hmm. What do we expect?
It's a big training program.
What?
The whole junk with violence on television or... We're instructing everybody. This is the way to do it. This is yes. the way you all should act.
It's a perverted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what we call the diabolical disorientation. Our nation is steeped in a diabolical disorientation, and we are not. We're not going to the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. You know. And even this. You know, he disdains religion. Well, because why not? Because that's been the mantra, the narrative out there for already, you know, via the media, the institutions of education, you know, very negative towards the Christian religion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, okay, the Pope comes and it's a wonderful experience. And, of course, he's going to change everything. He's going to, you know, the attitude, the feeling. What a wonderful Pope. What a great, you know, for the first time ever.
Oh,
finally,
yes.
You know. And he's going to change everything. He's not going to change anything.
Mm-mm.
You know. But we got to get to the root of the problem. And I asked in the letter I wrote to the parents this morning, I was inspired after the Mass, and I just wrote them a letter, sent it out immediately. I asked the question, am I a pessimist? Am I cynical? I've asked this question on the radio many times because... I think I've inherited the Slavic cynicism. I believe I have. I think I inherited the Slavic cynicism. And it's the Slavic people tend to be cynical, I think. I hope I'm not offending anybody by saying that, but I think I've got the disease, or I inherited the Slavic cynicism. But no, I'm optimistic. I love life.
Yeah.
And I love people, and I love, you know, and the people come with... horrible problems, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't happen. This shouldn't happen. The breakup of the marriage or the problems. But it's the way it is because we as a society have chosen a way away from God. We're going to do it our way. Let's see where's this going to take us. You know, so even to place it out there, I was at a meeting. I said we're going to probably be all over the place, but I think Father Joshua and I mentioned yesterday, we had a meeting with the Archbishop of Chicago, Blaise Tupich, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's his name. And anyway, all the priests were there. It was wonderful to see all the priests. It was, excuse me, very inspired. Had a good sense. You know, first impressions when all the priests get together. It was watching them interact and all that, and it was good. I was happy to see that. And the Archbishop, of course, spoke about the situation in Chicago, and the fact is that we can't sustain all the Well, we don't have the resources nor the priests to sustain all the institutions, or the, I shouldn't say institutions, but the parishes and the schools and all that. And so we've got to, we have to understand that there's going to be, it's going to be a time of, well, sacrifice. Sacrifice as we adapt to the current situation. So, I don't know if we mentioned yesterday, but he did speak about, oh, I think we did speak about this yesterday. I'm struggling here because I got a cough.
The cough.
So you guys can talk, but I'm going to talk.
go ahead, Father.
So Saint Francis, the Holy Father mentioned Saint Francis and his conversion. You know, he was in the little church of San Damiano, and he was a. By the way, his feast day is coming up. Mm-hmm. It's funny that we're talking about his feast day is coming up
this weekend.
This weekend on Sunday, we have the blessing of the animals on Saturday tomorrow at 9 o'clock. So in the school there to tell the students. I went to the three-year-olds. They're the little ones, you know, the littlest ones, 3 years old. Do you know that they all speak a different language? No, there's 15 to 18, and they all speak a different language.
They have their own dialogues.
And I have no idea what they're saying. And and somehow the teacher, God bless her and him, they were able to interpret for me. And they all talk at the same time as well.
Oh, yes.
That's the other thing. But it's it gives you hope. You know?
Those are the best kind of people to teach.
Well, you know,
they believe it or not.
Tell the teachers, I don't know how you do it. Because when I leave the classroom and I'm in there 15 minutes,
you're exhausted.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Completely exhausted.
Your head is spinning, yes.
My head is spinning.
Because they're full of so much energy.
Energy. But anyway, so St. Francis, it's a young man. He's been out there, right? Been out there doing the things that...
Young men do.
Yeah, I keep thinking about that, you know, compared to the times we're in. But anyway, nothing new under the sun, but things just intensify and get worse in a sense. But anyway, he lived a frivolous life, and he was in the church of San Damiano, and while he was there at Mass with his parents, Jesus spoke to him from the cross. And he says, Francis, he says, rebuild. He says, my church is in ruins. My church is in ruins. Rebuild the church. And so St. Francis was very, this was a life-changing experience for him. And he looked for the nearest church, and he found the little church of St. Mary of the Angels, right, down in the valley there, at the base of the Assisi. Mm-hmm. Assisi's built on a hill. And so he went down and he began to gather his friends and they began to rebuild the church. St. Mary of the Angels, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Or the, what is it? The what?
Porciuncola.
Yeah.
But that's...
That was his what would you call that? His hangout, the where he lived?
Right. It's where he chose to live, yeah.
Right. But that's right down there by St. Mary of the Angels, by the church, right? Because
that's
where he died, as a matter of fact. Well, Jerry's been there many times, so she's the expert. Why don't you talk about him?
She's
a third order Franciscan. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You want to add anything I've said?
The only thing that I would add is that the name of my fraternity was San Damiano, named after the cross there. And, you know, Francis had a long way to go here. He was living it up, doing what he wanted to do, and heard rebuild my church and... Did it the wrong way at first by getting his little carpenter apron on and the hammer and all,
exactly.
Doing all this stuff. And no, God said, that's fine, but this is what I really mean. The whole church needs to be rebuilt, rejuvenated.
Rejuvenated, renewed, reformed.
Right. So, you know, that's, Francis got into that. He just gave away everything that he had. He gave away his father's money, too. He just... was very large with all the things he was doing, and then he finally said, "That's it. I don't need any of these wealthy things. I don't need it. I don't want it." And so off he went to live a more subdued life, just by praying and getting together, set up the Franciscans, and they prayed together, and they. Move forward.
Serve the poor.
Yeah.
He was all over the place. When I was in Italy, I made a retreat there in Assisi, and I walked because you know there's so many places right down right in the area where he had his house or he had his different places he went, different places he worked, different places he would stay, and I visited them all. You know, just made a 3-day pilgrimage and walked as if I were St. Francis, right? Or at least a Franciscan, but I was walking the walk, so to speak. And it was really quite quite interesting. But, you know, it's what was it? It's a unique charism. Let me just say this. God, when God works in a mysterious way. So I was just in the school, as I said, all day, all morning. And the principal, it just came back. She was in Philadelphia with the Pope. And she said, and it's just amazing to listen to people. She said, you know, even though she couldn't get too close to him because there were so many people at the Mass, she had to be in a place pretty far. She said it was only after the Mass that she was able to find the altar, the sanctuary. So if you saw pictures of it, you'd see that people were all over the place. And but she said his presence, and the peace. In fact, I heard, Armin, I don't know if you heard this, she was telling me this, that in New York City there was no crime during that time. You know, and it was the same thing when he was in Chicago, Pope John Paul II. But he brings it, there is a charism. God is, it's like an icon. The Pope is like an icon. And people felt very much moved, very touched, transformed in this, at least for a moment, you know. Then you got to come back into reality. Anytime you go on a retreat and then you come back into the mundane, the ordinary, you know, then that's where the test is. Are you going to? Are you going to, and it's the case with anybody, called by the Lord. Okay, you got to get into the story, into the adventure, and you got to bear with it one day, from one day to the next. It's not, we're not, you're not going to be flying high, you know. But she said it was an absolutely beautiful experience, very life-changing experience. And anyway, so Francis, but that's the thing I was saying, is the charism that Francis had. The charism of St. Thérèse, whose feast day was yesterday.
Yeah.
Today is a feast of the guardian angel. A couple of days ago, it was a feast of St. Jerome, you know, the biblical scholar who translated the Bible. The feast of the archangels. This is now as we're at the end of September, into October, beautiful, beautiful saints, feasts of saints. St. Maria Faustina, is it today? Her feast.
I don't think
no,
so.
No, it's on coming. The 5th.
It's on Monday.
It's on Monday.
On Monday.
Today's the
guardian angel.
Guardian angels.
Guardian angel. So anyway, I tell you what, let's take a break. I bring this up because we have to believe and we pray that God will raise up saints, because this is what we really need.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to change the world but sanctity, saints? We need people. God will raise up, you know, God will raise up saints. Because they have the charism. That was a question. How this man, St. Francis, how he really impacted the life of the universal church and the number of men and women, because he started the Poor Clares as well, but how they left everything to follow Jesus. This would be a true, the call to this, to the evangelical councils, to poverty, chastity, obedience. And when Jesus remembered the young man in the gospel, what must I do to inherit life everlasting? And Jesus says, have you kept the commandments? He said, yes, sir, I have. You know, what I want you to do, no, okay, that's good. Very good. But now sell everything you've got and come and follow me. And we're always sad because he had many people. St. Francis, on the other hand, he literally did that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He sold everything. He let go of everything. Everything. Even to the point that he stripped himself naked in the square, because his father was very angry, and that he was giving his life over to God in such a radical way. Such a radical way. But he did. And people, it was almost like a reincarnation of Christ. You know, that's how I've heard it described. Jesus in the midst of the people. Anyway, So we will take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Monday, October 12th, will be a historic day in the city of Chicago as we welcome the major relics of Saint Maria Goretti. The 11-year-old Maria Goretti, the youngest canonized saint, died after being stabbed 14 times in attempted rape. Her last words on her deathbed were of mercy towards her attacker. "I forgive Alessandro, and I want him to be with me in heaven." Her converted murderer would later exclaim, "Maria's forgiveness saved me." On Monday, October 12th, St. John Cantius Church in Chicago will host the May for a full 24 hours. A Latin Mass in honor of St. Maria Goretti will be offered by Bishop Joseph Perry. For more information, please visit cantius.org. That's cantius.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WN and on the World Wide Web at Winds of Change Show. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. It has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.com. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.com. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's. One church, many cultures.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we were speaking about Saint Francisco, Francis, and his feast days on Sunday. So the Archbishop made reference to him as he, in speaking to the priest, he's looking forward to the, what are we going to do in the Archdiocese as we're meeting, having to face the challenges, the reality of the day we're in, radical secularism, radical individualism, relativism, hedonism. I'm using these words. He didn't use them. He did use the word radical secularism or secularized society. I mean, things. I was telling the principal today in the school that in 30 years that I'm a priest, it's very different. It's very, very different. And so we have to prepare for changes. How do we, with the resources we have, with the priests, how many pastors, how many parishes, the schools, how are we gonna maintain this? How are we gonna move forward in a positive way, responsive to the gospel message? He really stressed missionary discipleship. We've got to be a mission-based church. Pope Francis has spoken about that, but a mission-based church. Renewal. We have to make the mission of Christ our own. So we talked about the rebuilding of the church, repair the church, reform the church, renew the church. Christ is alive in our midst. We bring people to conversion, that there be a metanoia, a change of heart. We've got to look upward. Like I said, the Lord is calling us to something higher, to live in the gaze of the risen Lord. We are the actors in the world, in the story. The church is a filled hospital, so you go out and invite, bring in the sick, whether it be mentally, physically, spiritually, return, respond to the call, and we've got to be, which is part of our life, everybody's life, but the life of the church, this dying and rising sacrifice, and we've got to really be willing to enter into the sacrifice. It's going to be asked of all of us. And with that, a dying, a real dying. We got to leave behind any kind of isolationism. Can't be isolated. We got to rekindle in people the life of the resurrection. Believe that in the sacrifice and this dying, that new life will come. Right. Build a new solidarity, and end exclusion. So those are some of the thoughts of the Archbishop Cupich. Because really, they talked about, we saw statistics and all that, the number of parishes, the child, there's 24% fewer people who attend Mass today than in 1994. It's really higher than that. There's been an increase of about 200,000 in the number of Hispanics. This is interesting. An increase of 200,000 Hispanics, I think that's since 1994, a decrease by 400,000 non-Hispanics. Decrease.
Interesting.
So, anyway, that's that. So this morning, should we go talk about the angels or? Well, let me share with you this reading, because this reading this morning was very interesting to me. I actually kind of woke me up when I was listening to it at the Mass. I think you read it, Geraldine.
I read it, yes.
I guess it's the way you read it.
Very.
You know, it's, and immediately after I wrote this letter to the parent, I felt inspired. I went to the chapel and I just kind of sat with the reading. And so I wrote a letter to the parents, because I have access to the parents. And I just feel that it's important, you know, and without, you know, enumerating a whole litany of woes in our society, the bad things in the nation today, and, you know, being conscious of the good people, what people do, there's a lot of good. But I wonder how we read the scripture, because it's being read today and at all the masses throughout the world. It's a reading from the prophet Baruch, and it acknowledges the sins of the people, and they're turning away from God's protective care. So I find it, you know, reading this was very challenging because it reflects reality, in my opinion. Now, others may find it offensive, and if so, I wonder why. I ask the question, why? If I say sin abounds today. By the way, when I heard that reading, and then as I'm celebrating the Mass, it's amazing how the word sin comes into the liturgy, and sacrifice, and humility, and gratitude. But it's all there, you know. And the thing is, the society, even among our own people, you know, if you speak about sin, somehow it is received as being offensive, offensive. But if I say sin abounds today, if I say, as I've said many times, here we're losing our sensitivity to God and all things sacred, life. If I say we seem to celebrate evil and curse what is good, what is decent, what is noble and dignified, am I a pessimist to say this? Am I being cynical? Is it offensive? Is it too negative? I mean, you look around and you see what's happening. You know, we have to stay with God, the God. And again, as we speak about God, we have to be very specific, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has fully revealed himself in Jesus Christ. You see, the young man who killed the students and teachers, I don't think it was one teacher or two, I don't know, it was one teacher that was killed, I think. But anyway, he killed, what, 10? How many did he kill? Was it 10 to 13?
He killed 10, and there are others who are still going to die.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like 20 others that are...
That were wounded.
Wounded. Not all of those will die, but
hopefully
none of them will. But anyway, the fact is, this is a mass killing. And as I said, you know, he disdained, in his Facebook, he says he disdained organized religion. He identified himself as not religious, but spiritual. And this is the common position of many today, especially among the young people, because our society has effectively perpetuated the narrative that the Christian religion is bad. And honestly, sad to say, the church, through the failings of her members, especially the clergy, the priests, hasn't helped the situation.
No.
Nonetheless, you know, we shouldn't turn to blind eye or turn our shouldn't be blind and deaf to what God has revealed. He says, well, God has revealed and what has sustained society in good times and bad. So remember, you know, we had this reading a couple of weeks ago, but remember how the disciples, they abandoned Jesus because they judged his teachings to be intolerable, too hard, too difficult. And Jesus, he asked the apostles, he says, do you wish to go as well? Do you want to go? There's the door.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that of the 12 that he's speaking to, one of them would betray him. He says, do you wish to go? And Peter said, Lord, where do we go? Where should we go? We believe, we've come to believe, that you have the words of everlasting life. Maybe we don't understand, but we believe you have the words of everlasting life, and so we stay with you. So what would be your response to the question, the Jesus question? Obviously, if you're listening, you've said yes. That's my assumption,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So what follows is the lament. It's a lament of a people who lost everything because they turned their back on God, much like the killer in Oregon. They thought themselves to be spiritual, these people, but without need for God, without the need for the covenant, without need for religion. And you see, the thing is, we're all victims of the choices people make to abandon God as he has, you know, revealed himself in history. And so the people, what happened was the people lost their status as a nation. Now we're going back to the year 587 BC and what follows when the Babylonians came in and destroyed the nation, Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed and the people were exiled. They were deported. Their temples were left in ruin, exiled to a foreign land. Could this happen here? It's a question, you know. Could this happen here? So from the book of the prophet, the prophet Baruch, I should have brought the whole reading down. Maybe I've got it. Let's see, bear with me. Silence is always nice on the radio, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, Father, when you were talking about when people are spiritual,
mm-hmm.
you wonder, it's like, yeah, but whose spirit are you under?
Yeah. Well,
that's the question. Whose spirit?
That's why there's a bit of the demonic in that.
This, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not, again, there's only one God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he is the creator of all things. We all come into existence by God's choice. He loved us into life. And his laws are written into our hearts, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we come from God. We're destined for God. In God we live. So if I reject God, because God has revealed himself in and mm-hmm. through, he's established a people of a covenant, a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Religion. People of this covenant who have a mission to the whole world. And so if we renounce this, we reject this, and we say, well, we don't need God, I just am spiritual, or, you know, God, I've said this many times on the radio, God will work it out. Me and God will work it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's said, like, me and God, which already, who's first? Me.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
Me and God. We'll work things out. We don't need the commandments. We don't need the religion. So anyway, excuse me. So I didn't bring the reading down, but I have the little bit part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Little part of it, which is, I thought, the most important. And so from the reading today, read at the Mass on Sunday, I mean today, mm-hmm. today's Friday, all over the world, justice is with the Lord. And we today are flushed with shame.
Yeah.
We people of Judah, citizens of Jerusalem, or let's just say this, could it come that we would end up saying, we, the people of Chicago, or the people of the United States, and citizens of Chicago, that we with our kings and rulers and priests and prophets and with our ancestors have sinned in the Lord's sight and disobeyed him. We have neither heeded the voice of the Lord our God, nor followed the precepts which the Lord set before. We have been disobedient to the Lord our God, did not heed the voice of the Lord our God. Each one of us went off after the devices of his own wicked heart, served other gods, and did evil in the sight of the Lord our God. That's from the book of Baruch. People in the exile, they realize when they hit rock bottom, we did this. So I just share that with you because I wonder. See, I wonder how people would hear this. Because it occurred to me as I was listening to the whole reading this morning, I thought, wow, I need that. I need to hear that. I don't see this as negative. I see it as a positive challenge. Don't lose your sensitivity. Don't lose your focus. Don't forget what is the foundation of your life. Don't forget who's the center of your life. Don't forget from where you've come. Don't forget where you're going. And live responsibly. You have obligations. No? I mean, what do you think? Let's take a break and you guys can answer when we come back. I insist that you answer me. Okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, by our highly educated and dedicated teachers, including our very own K-8 science teacher, Dr. Karen Heaton. Your gifted child will be at a higher and deeper level of thinking and conceptual understanding, so they will have a full comprehension of what they're learning in any subject. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent, learn, lead, love. Join the St. Stan's family. We are accepting applications for the 2015-2016 school year. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. I sound like the children, little ones. I said, especially the little tiny ones who speak all these different languages. I said, so what do you, why is everybody so happy today? You know, and they get all kinds of reasons why they're happy, but I didn't understand any of the reasons. But I said, no, you get 2 days off, Saturday and Sunday, you know, so, but it didn't seem to phase them at all.
No.
At that age, school is fun at that age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, I told them to bring their pets for the blessing in the church. I said, this is one day you're going to let the animals come to church, you know, so we'll see what they bring. One kid asked if he could bring stuff now. I said, sure, why not?
Easier to clean up after.
Yeah.
I think Sophie did that 1 year. She brought a stuffed skunk.
Perhaps. Anyway, how would this from the prophet, Baruch, get this cough. Justice is with the Lord our God, and we today are flooded. Again, these are people in the exile. Because they just went about their own, they did their own thing. They were the people of the covenant they had inherited from their fathers and their fathers' fathers, and everything had come down to them. You know, who is our God? Our God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. These are the laws of God.
Right.
This is what's expected of us. This is what we must do. We're people loved by the Lord. And they just said, well, to hate him with all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to kind of do our own thing. And we're spiritual. We don't need this God. And basically what they did, as they admit, once they're in the exile, once it all collapsed,
mm-hmm.
and they find themselves with no nation, no temples, no synagogue, nothing, no place for worship, and they're in a foreign land. And they begin to lament. They cry, the rivers of Babylon, right? They weep. It says, justice is with the Lord our God. See, we forget that God is a just God. We say, okay, God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. He is. And this has to be communicated and conveyed to the people. It has to be the primary, what primarily characterizes the church's life. But it's that mercy. But God is just. And if it's a feast of guardian angels, we will have to talk about that too, because we have, each one of us, an angel. Not a little cherub.
No,
not a munchkin, but a spirit. God, is this the mystery, how God ordained it to be, you know? And it's not difficult to understand, because God has brought all of us into the story so that we all have to help each other. But he's given us angels to assist us on the way as well. And everybody has an angel who does assist. Now, we can refuse, and we're not conscious, perhaps. We should be conscious of our guardian angels. But the point is that they're, nonetheless, they're with us. And of course, there's going to come a point in time when we're, we have to pass from here to there, and they will probably be the, carry us. They will probably carry us from here to there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, we know.
Where is there? We know where here is, but where is there? Well, we hope they carry us to heaven. Right? That's the goal. Right. But anyway, God is, because what happens? Justice is rendered.
Yeah.
The judgment will be, God will make judgment. Because, and you think about it, people, he cannot. So with the help of the assistance of the guardian angels, the Holy Spirit as well, the church, we have all these opportunities to put our lives right with God. But if we refuse, and we refuse God, and we decide we're going to do it our way, and at the end of all things, that's the choice we've made, then God cannot, because he would disrespect our conscience or our decision, what we've chosen, our will. He says, no, I do it my way. Again, to hate you with God, which in fact places me right there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? We don't speak about this, I don't think, enough.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I would love for the Pope to have spoken about this. Can you imagine if he came and spoke about this? That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
So, but see, God will allow in our life that we hit rock bottom as a way of saving us. Right. As a way of saying, okay, you know, it didn't work your way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here, and I'm offering you my protection. So the people in the exile, they say, justice is with the Lord our God, and today we are flushed with shame. We, the people of Judah, citizens of Jerusalem, that we, with our kings, with our president, and our rulers, our governors, and the politicians, and our priests and prophets, and with our ancestors, because this just didn't happen overnight. We've sinned in the Lord's sight. We've disobeyed him. We've neither heeded the voice of the Lord our God nor followed the precepts which the Lord set before us. We have been disobedient to the Lord our God and only too ready to disregard his voice. For we did not heed the voice of the Lord our God. Each one of us, I like this sentence, each one of us went off after the devices of his own wicked heart, served other gods, and did evil in the sight of the Lord our God. As people lament from this place of exile, which is precisely where God then reintroduces himself and says, okay, I'm here, and you are mine, and I am yours, but are you willing to come with me? You know? So what do you think? What do you think, Christina? What's in your mind? What are you thinking?
When I hear that sacred scripture was written how long ago, and it so applies to today's world, the exile, And you asked a question when we were off air about could it happen? Or I don't know if you had, but it, the point is that we could be in exile when we've, like, this nation was founded, like our forefathers founded this nation on Christian values. And it's being pushed aside. Everything that we were known for, like, unlike other nations, this was the nation that people looked up to and were envious because we had the faith, the values were there, but we are losing that. And it could come to a point where we're gonna hit rock bottom, and we're gonna be in exile like the Babylonians when they came in.
Get a sense? Over, yeah. We're moving in that
direction.
So again, it brings to my mind what Stalin said in the 1950s, that America's strength is her patriotism,
mm-hmm. yeah.
her religiosity, her patriotism, her spirituality, mm-hmm. religiosity, and her morality. This is the strength of America. And if you can bring these down, America will be destroyed from within. Mm-hmm. So, but you see it happening.
I see it happening.
You're a pessimist. You're a cynic.
I am, but you know what? There's always hope. The little flock.
Yeah.
I always think of when Moses went up to the Mount Sinai to get the commandments, God's law, and how the Israelites were down there having their fun. And there was just a little group there on the side who refused, who said, we will stay with the Lord. We're not going to be the merrymakers that are over there. Because when the time comes, God, he will be judging all of us.
It's funny. Certainly not funny, but how quickly they turned away from God. The people, you know, when Moses went up on the mountain.
Oh, he's gone. Let's do our own, you know, we're over here. What are we waiting for?
Yeah.
Let's just live it up. And you hear people say that, you know, you only live once. Let's live mm-hmm. it up. You know, there's eternity. You're not thinking about the future of eternity. And that's a long, long, long time.
That's forever.
That's forever.
Let's take a final break. Then we have about 10 minutes. We'll come back, and then Jerry and Tony can respond, right? You're going to do that. All right, but very interesting, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. I was going to say thanks for being with us, but stay with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Monday, October 12th, will be a historic day in the city of Chicago as we welcome the major relics of Saint Maria Goretti. The 11-year-old Maria Goretti, the youngest canonized saint, died after being stabbed 14 times in attempted rape. Her last words on her deathbed were of mercy towards her attacker. "I forgive Alessandro, and I want him to be with me in heaven." Her converted murderer would later exclaim, "Maria's forgiveness saved me." On Monday, October 12th, St. John Cantius Church in Chicago will host the major relics for a full 24 hours. A Latin Mass in honor of St. Maria Goretti will be offered by Bishop Joseph Perry. For more information, please visit cantius.org. That's cantius.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Alethea. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up. I'm going to give Geraldine and Tony the last, they'll have the last words. So we'll go, Geraldine.
Yeah, ladies first.
Oh, thank you, Tony.
Those who are last will be first. So what do you think, Geraldine? You've been around for a long time.
Father. I just don't agree with a lot of the things that are happening today. And people are very free to just give up God. God doesn't matter because I want other things to be more important to me, like my ability to waste time or just do whatever I want to do. And if I want to do that, then I don't need God telling me what to do. I am very tired of the word spiritual because I don't believe most people know what they're talking about. They mean they do not want to go into churches, which smacks of religion. That's no good for them. But they claim to be spiritual. I don't think so. They think spiritual is, I can say whatever I want to. I don't have to abide by rules. I can just go and do what I want to do. And that's not spirituality, because you need something more than that to be sure. Spiritual. You need a God. You need a God who loves us, who has set rules for us to follow, knowing it's for us.
Mm-hmm. We're bound.
We're bound.
We're bound for what purpose? But for the person of freedom.
Right.
This is the irony of it all, isn't it? We're bound.
My.
We're bound for the purpose of freedom.
Right.
We become less and less free the more we live away from God.
Exactly.
The commandments of God.
Yes.
Antonio.
Christina, you said something about hope, and that's the thing that sticks out in my mind. I am at that point where I'm losing that. I'm losing that hope. And that scripture reading was so beautiful because I think about now and how I don't think we would even know or to take, you know, that sense of, okay, we're at our end. We're at that rock bottom. I don't think we would know that.
Mm-mm.
And for me, I need to have that hope, and I have that hope in Jesus Christ. That's a given. But when I think about our leaders, especially our president, I don't see that. There's nobody to look up to other than God, a priest. That's why I think the world is missing so much by not having that link to God. Because, I mean, sure, we can say we're spiritual because it's about us. If there's nothing to that higher standard, mm-hmm. and I think even to tell people now you can't be, oh, well, you know, make it all go away. Here's a toy. You know, you're fine. We need to have that smack, which that reading to me is a smack in the face that makes, I can see how it would impress you. It impresses me the same way because this is where we're headed.
So if somebody says upon reading that, this mm-hmm. that I presented and the build up to the quote from the right. book of Baruch. If somebody said, you know, that's you're being negative. You're being
it's not negative. No. Look around.
You know, it's funny.
Go ahead. Yeah, look around. That's just look around.
Yeah,
and it's like, and I think that's part of the problem. We want to go through life saying, oh no, we're fine. Give me the new iPhone. Give me the new whatever. I don't have to be accountable for anything. There's going to be a time, and I hate to see people hit rock bottom.
Sure.
But I think maybe that's what people have to do. But hopefully, God is always there, and he's waiting.
Well, God will be there.
He's
right?
always there. Mm-hmm.
But there's people that, if they don't have that choice, that God, knowing of that God, then it's damnation. You're damned. There's nothing else for you.
So when somebody says, well, you know, but you got to give something people to do, what do you do? Well, it's there, you know, return to God.
Return to God.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
God is, make God the God of your life, you know, and then see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it goes back to what you're all saying is you got to be bound. Yeah. We have to be bound in order to be free. Mm-hmm. You know, it's as simple as that. And then we serve each other.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like right now, like you know, who do you look to? Who do you look to? Everybody's doing their own thing. That's why I like the last sentence, and we're just about out of time, but the last sentence of the reading this morning at Mass, you know, these people lamenting, each of us went off after the devices of his own wicked heart, served other gods, and did evil in the sight of the Lord our God. Mm-hmm. You know?
Other gods. I'm spiritual, so we're serving other gods. We're serving ourselves.
And sometimes it's that God is the self. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Anyway, well, you know, thanks for your comments and all that. We're out of time. As it is, we're going into the weekend now. So everybody, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. And we will be back Monday, God willing. I have a funeral Monday, by the way.
That's right.
So Almighty God bless you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now, the winds have changed.